Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
And the rest of us are going to spend some time in God's Word here, starting in 1 John. I'd really like to get through chapter 1, honestly, but we're not going to be able to. We just got too much to talk about. So we're going to be through, really, these first four verses. I just want to kind of boom, bam, bing a few things, get it to you, and see what God wants to do. You can open up your Bibles or your mobile app. There's a Bible on there. We're going to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Five chapters in 1 John, not the Gospel of John. There's a difference between John and 1 John. Okay? Yeah, so if you're looking at John, and there's not a little one in front of it, you're going to be really excited, but then in about 10 seconds, you're going to be disappointed. So go a little further back to a place called 1 John, okay? In my Bible, it's literally like that far back. Okay? There's just that much left of the back. So that's where you want to turn, 1 John chapter 1, and I want to read it to us, okay? Here it is. We have it on the screen for you too. That which was from the beginning. Woo! I could preach. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it. That's a good church word. We testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, and to all of us now today, 2,000 years later, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Fantastic. Fantastic. Go read John sometime, though John without the one. Kind of starts out similar in a similar way. Kind of fascinating. But 1 John, that's where we're going to be spending some time. Let me say a prayer, and then we're going to dive in this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you that you have brought us together to hear from you. God, we are not here to hear little cutesy things from Seth. We are here to hear you speak to us. But God, I beg of you that you would open up our hearts so that the words we hear wouldn't just enter into our ears, but that they would enter into our hearts. And so, Father, may you find us, maybe not with bended knees this morning, but at least with bent hearts, desiring, hungry, thirsty for you and what you would want to do in us. This isn't always easy, Father. And so as things kind of unfold and as hearts begin to get maybe twisted up and rendered a little bit this morning, I pray that you would send protection around our hearts and our minds as you shepherd our very souls this morning. Continue to work with us and guide us, Lord, to where you'd have us go this morning. So bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. Kenzie, thanks so much for volunteering. Really appreciate that. Kenzie, I would love to give you $10. What do you think of that? That's pretty cool, right? I mean, $10? What would you do with $10? Little Taco Bell on the way home. Little Mickey D's, get the McChicken sandwich. You could get 10 of those babies. Well, with tax, 9, yeah. It is kind of frustrating, actually. I do feel like that's a little bit of a lie. Dollar menu. Okay, so I'm a pretty good guy. $10, when I say you get $10, like it's as good as yours. $10. It's yours. It's awesome. Hey, let's give Kenzie a big round of applause. Thanks so much, Kenzie. You can go ahead and sit down. Awesome, Kenzie. Thank you so much for coming up and hooking you up with that $10. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. I need a tenant. I need a volunteer. Who do we got? Levi, come on up. Sorry, Core. Levi, come on up. Okay, Levi, I want to give to you $10. Okay? So I got $10 here, and I want to give it to you. Let's give Levi a big round of applause. Well, sit down, man. Awesome. Awesome, Levi. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. A little more hands. Some adult hands are going up. I need a volunteer. I can't see any. Come on up, Indica. Why don't you come on up here? Awesome. Indica, come on up here. Give me 5. Indica, what's your name?
Indica.
Awesome. So Indica's name is Indica. Indica, I would love to give you $10 this morning.
Okay.
I'd like to give you $10.
Where is it?
Let's see. Where is it? $10 bill, real $10. Oh, snap. What's the guy's name on the 10? I feel like we should. Jackson! There's $10. Let's give Indica a big round of applause. You know, it starts to get real. It starts to get real when it's real. I'm so sorry, Mackenzie. Mom, Dad, you might have to help me out later. It starts to get real when it's real, doesn't it? Starts to get real when it's real. This is what John is all about. This is what John is all about. John, the apostle John, John has witnessed the real Jesus. He has witnessed the real Jesus who has come and brings tangibly the goods to his people. He has seen it. He has touched it. He has heard it. He has seen the real, he saw it. He saw the real thing happen. God bringing to his people the tangible good gifts that he has for them. He saw it unfold before his very eyes. I mean, John is one of these guys who walked around with Jesus, probably one of the youngest, if not the youngest disciple. Walked with Jesus. Got to see the very things that Jesus did. I mean, he literally got, he got to see it unfold before his eyes. He was part of even the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, right? If you know your Bibles a little bit, kind of grew up in the church, you know that little phrase. Who are those three? Well, those three are kind of these special three that Jesus even took apart from the 12 and spent some time with them. He saw the transfiguration. I mean, he got to see healings, and he got to see Jesus do his thing. God bringing good gifts to his people. He got to see, he got to hear it. The very voice of Jesus entered into his ears. He was part of the family. Jesus from the cross says to John, you're going to be taking care of my mother. I mean, John was intricately part of the family. I mean, he was in the inner circle. John knew what was up. And now John writes a letter, one of the oldest letters in the Bible, meaning the oldest as in like the oh man, I wasn't thinking how to say this. The closest to us, okay, the latest letters. It's not one of the earliest. It's not one of Paul's letters that are like maybe 50s AD kind of stuff. This letter is probably more like 90-ish AD. Later on, the church has been going now for a while. John actually would prefer not to write. It almost seems like he would prefer just to preach. I like John. See, John doesn't want to have to preach because just call me up. I'll come over. I'll share with you what I saw, what I heard, what I experienced. But now the church is beginning to have an infiltration of some bad teaching. Heresy, which is a kind of a fancy word for bad teaching. Not right. People are starting to say things about Jesus that are not true. And some of this starts to work its way into the church. And John's an old guy now. John's starting to get up in age. You start to see that in his letter, or in his writing here. You start to see him talk like this, kind of as a father to children. He now kind of sees his place. He's like, we got to combat these heresies. Imagine 60 years from now, some of us who might still be around, I don't know if I'll be in 60 years, that's a long time away. But imagine 60 years from now, somebody comes up to you and says something like this. They say, 9/11 never happened. What would you do? 9/11 never took place. Not the way, I mean, okay, maybe some parts of it happened kind of the way, but come on, that didn't actually unfold that way. What would you say? I saw it. Are you kidding me? You can't say that. Those were a huge shaping moment in my life. You can't just say it didn't happen. Now imagine, I mean, was anybody there on that day actually? Okay, well, there's obviously people that were there, right? Imagine that person being told that. I mean, I saw it on TV. I witnessed it like that. And I'd still drop the hammer and be like, yeah, it did. But imagine being in New York that day. You saw the towers fall. You witnessed the debris coming up all around you. Imagine somebody being like, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. I was there. That's what John's dealing with. So people are starting to say things about Jesus that aren't true. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, what are you talking about? I was there. This is why I love John so much. Because John is kind of a connection point for some other people that we kind of follow and we study. So John had a guy, and this is fascinating stuff. You don't need to know this, but this is just fun. John had a disciple, probably a disciple named Polycarp. I got a picture of him up here. He looks studly. That guy looks good. That guy looks like he'd be you'd see him at like a beer festival or something now. I feel like I've seen that guy before. No, I'm just kidding. So this is Polycarp. Polycarp is a guy who actually we know Polycarp is connected with John. Polycarp knew John, a real guy. You've never heard him. You've probably never heard of this guy. Polycarp's a real dude who interacted with John. Then there's a guy named Ignatius. He's another guy. Whoa, a little freaky. Saw him in a Disney movie once. Ignatius, right? Look at the dates on this. Now, Ignatius, that's a little bit, you know, that's maybe legend there, but 35, 50 AD is when this guy's born. Ignatius comes on the scene. This guy's interacted with John. They know each other. And then Polycarp, which is a disciple, a bishop of kind of this of the church at this time, Polycarp has a guy named Irenaeus. Okay, I couldn't get the same exact pick on him. And so Irenaeus, this guy's doing a lot of teaching and stuff, and he's connected with Polycarp, probably actually heard Polycarp preach. Why am I saying this? I don't know if you care about this stuff. I love this stuff because it's like real people. Sometimes, don't you think sometimes we almost like the apostles and stuff become like legendary in our minds? They become kind of mystical, like floaty people. They're just real people, and they're connected to real people. Polycarp's a real guy. You can go read some of his writings. Ignatius is a real guy. You can go read some of his stuff. Irenaeus, some of his stuff, and it just kind of keeps passing. And it's so cool because it's like, are you kidding me? What's the connection? John, I saw it. I witnessed it. I heard it. And this became really important because as teachers began to say things that weren't true, John could come in and lay the smack down and say, you weren't there, I was there. And this is why I love this so much, because we ask the same question, don't we? Oftentimes, I've asked the question or said this thought. I've said, Jesus, if you would just show up. If you, God, just show up. If you would just show up in real life, man, that would be awesome. But he did. He did show up. He actually did enter in to our suffering. He actually did enter into our struggles. He actually did enter into the brokenness. Wow. That's why I love this so much. Because it's real. It's tangible. Look at 1 John here. 1 John 1, 1 through 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which was from the beginning. This is different than any other little baby being born. This one was from the beginning. The Word who was with the Father. The Word which we have seen with our eyes, Jesus, manifest. We've looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest and we saw it. We've seen it. I love that. I love that so much. Leave this up for a little bit here until I go to the next slide. I just want you to be saturated in these verses here a little bit. Just read that baby over and over and over. We've seen it. It was made manifest. What do we have access to? There's 2 points I want to make quick. 2 points. 1 point is this. In Jesus, we have access to life. Anybody desire life? Anybody desire life? Like when you go onto your computer and you get caught back up in that addiction and you just keep getting caught up in it, you just can't get out of it. Have you ever just been like, this is not life? Anxiety, anger. I'm always anxious. My gut is always just in knots. I'm always in turmoil. Is that life? Is that what? Life? Anger. I'm always struggling with anger. I'm always, I always got that going on. Is that life? Isn't it true that we desire life? Give me life. And Jesus comes on the scenes and when you're connected to me, there's access to life. I am life. This is why it's so crazy that Jesus dies. Because he is life. Even in the book of Revelation, which is also written by John, actually one of the things that Jesus says to him in the Revelation is, Jesus comes on the scene. This wasn't even in my notes, but it's just, I love this verse so much. Jesus says, I died. That should shake you because he is life. When we have access to Jesus, we have access to the Father. And in that relationship, we have access to actual life. Who doesn't want that? I want that. I need that. I desire that. I want life. Look at what John says at the end of 1 John. So I'm still in the same writing here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Remember, I preached on this recently, Ephesians 2. You're dead in your sins and your trespasses. There's a ton of people walking around breathing fine without life. That's what Jesus is talking about. And I listen, I'm not like coming after. I'm just, don't you want life? True life? In Jesus, we have access to life. Second point is this. In Jesus, we have access, and this is kind of a driving force behind this whole series. We have access to fellowship. Look at it. Look at it. See it unfold. Verse 3. That which we have seen and we heard, like I got to touch Jesus. High five, Jesus. Whoosh. That which we have seen and heard and we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. What is he talking about? In Jesus, there is fellowship now of a new kind. Fellowship there is the Greek word for koinonia. There is koinonia. There is fellowship of this incredibly deep kind that's found in Jesus Christ. We begin in Jesus to have a new relationship with each other. Me and Pat have a new relationship with each other in Christ. Listen, yeah, amen, boom, bump fist. Here's the proof in the pudding. This is how real it gets for me. Just think about this. Do you believe this? Here it is. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'm very certain, pretty certain, I would not know any of you. I wouldn't know any of you. I can tell you this much. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be in Houston. That I can tell you, folks. That's as solid as it gets. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't know any of you. You wouldn't know each other. How real does this get? How real is this? How tangible is it? It's as real as not having fellowship with each other if it wasn't for Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He brings us into fellowship with the Father. Okay, now that's a Trinity kind of thing, and so some of us start to freak out. Don't freak out. Maybe I'll do a series on the Trinity or something. We don't have to freak out about the Trinity. We don't have to freak out about it. But there's one God, three persons, right? Father, Son, Spirit. But Jesus brings us into relationship with the Father. But then he also brings us into a new relationship with each other. Here's the little diagram I wanted to show you. Here, just really simple. Really simple. When God begins to do his thing in our life, when there's faith that's brought into us, okay, which is a gift, when faith comes and our relationship with God is made in such a way that he makes us into a new creation, that changes us so that we begin to, it drives us, it changes us, and it drives us to live out our lives on a horizontal level with other people, and it's different. It changes us. It changes the way we interact with each other. It changes the way we interact with creation. I actually start to pick up litter. Now, this is going to a cheesy kind of, but I start to pick up litter because I actually care for creation because God cares for creation. I actually begin to deal with people in a new way. I begin to see them differently. Why? Because I'm a new creation now. I'm a new person. My relationship with God is fixed. And so I go back out into creation, just like we were meant to in the first creation, in Adam and Eve, okay? They were meant to be love and care for and do life with and all this stuff in relationship to Father drives us into a new relationship with the people around us. Now this, through Jesus, because of what he's done for us, it changes us. We live differently. That's super little simple thing. I don't know if that helps you or not. But when my relationship with God is off, your relationship with creation and other people will be off. It's in Jesus that we have access to a kind of fellowship that you'd have to say something like koinonia. It's this incredibly deep kind where actually we begin to share and do life with each other. We begin to even go so far, oh gosh, don't freak out, because I don't think this has to be your first day at a G2 group, okay? But you actually, over time in relationship, you begin to share struggles. Don't freak out. That's not day one. But you actually start to share struggles. You actually get asked for prayer. You actually please help. You actually begin to share sin. You actually begin to go into the, sometimes even those kinds of things come out and you say it and it's like, oh, I'm broken. I'm struggling with this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, this is what he writes. I love this quote so much. Some of you have heard this, me say this. In his book called Life Together, listen to what it says. He says this. Now this doesn't, he's not saying that sinning is okay. You have to read the whole context. He actually drops the hammer on sin. But listen to what he says here. Within that context, he says, is not the sinning brother, so a brother who shared that they struggle with sin, maybe they struggle with an addiction, or they struggle with alcohol, or they struggle with whatever it might be, is not the sinning brother still a brother with whom I too stand under the word of Christ? Will not his sin be a constant occasion for me to give thanks? Who thinks like this? I don't think like this. Will then that be a constant occasion for me to give thanks that both of us may live in the forgiving love of God in Christ Jesus? If that doesn't sound, that's radical. That's radical. When I can start to recognize when I'm in relationship and fellowship with, let's say, Randy, and we're in fellowship and she shares a struggle. See, our culture says, don't share that. That means you're weak. That means that goes against you and you're setting yourself up as God and that I got everything figured out and everything's good. Randy says, no, this is my struggle. This is what I've been dealing with. This is what I need help with. Well, that doesn't mean I have to come and drop the hammer on her. It means that we look to the God of the universe and we say, thank you, God, for the forgiveness. Thank you that there's an arrow coming down from the God part down to the me part. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that we can come in, Randy, and we can thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for the new life that we have in you. Thank you that we get to fellowship and do life together. Are you kidding me? That's what we get through Jesus, the Word who's been made manifest. It's not just a floaty God out there. He came. I saw him. The two towers fell. I was in New York. It happened. I was in Jerusalem. I saw him up on the cross. I saw him be put in the tomb. He wasn't breathing. He was out. They got him. And then I saw him alive. I witnessed his resurrection. Woo! For you and for me. For you and for me. This is why this series, I got to kind of wrap this up here. This is why this series, What's Next? That's what I'm calling this series, What's Next? The reason I'm asking this question is because this. I don't think most of you are asking this question. Our last series was text in your questions, right? And then I answered and I asked the questions that you had asked. This is a question, what's next, that I don't think you're asking. Because let me tell you something. This morning is a good chance we beat our record again of 2 years now of worshiping. There's probably more people here than we've ever had at church before. Okay? I don't know. That doesn't actually matter. Well, praise God. That's good. But there's a good chance there's more people here than we've ever had before. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But here's my point. I think what happens, and I kind of saw this coming down the chute, and this is what I want to speak to. I think what happens is we get to fall, And we get to a fall, and essentially we've worked our tail off. Because let me tell you, this isn't what it looked like all summer long. See? And so we work our tail off, and we want to get into a routine again. And so we get to the fall, and it's like we come back to church. And for many of us, we're all in this together. For many of us, getting back into the swing of things is kind of like crossing the finish line. You worked your tail off. You finally woke up early. You set the alarm. You made it happen. You dragged your spouse. They didn't want to come. You dragged them anyway. And you got them here, and you crossed the finish line. And for many of us, you're coming across the finish line with your arms up like this. If you're an athlete, you know what I'm talking about. Trying to open up the lungs, right, so you can breathe. And you walked in just like that this morning. Because what concerns me is sometimes we don't build our lives on the gospel, and instead we build our lives on, What do I got to do? Okay, let's finally make it happen. And I'm thankful you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying that. I'm not downplaying those of you who actually got up and made it happen and you walked across the finish line. All I'm saying is this, and don't be scared, but I'm going to scare you. I'm asking what's next. I'm asking, let's go jump at the start line again. And what I want to do is I want to teach you that in Jesus, he can kind of get your breathing. He can get your life oriented in such a way that you can start to just chillax. And you can start to recognize that Jesus is the one doing the heavy lifting. You can start to recognize that Jesus saves you. You don't save you. You can start to recognize that the pressure can kind of get off of you. And you can continue to take the next step and the next step and the next step. What's God got next for you? What's he telling you? What's he sharing with you? What's he doing in your life? And what we want to do is we want to reorient our lives around the gospel and what God has done for us. If today you took that next step, I'm so thankful. But I'd also suggest this. That was God who did that. That's God just walking with you, baby. He's walking with you. And let's just start thinking about what is it going to look like to reorient our lives around the real Jesus who's really working today. Because if it's the $10 trick and Jesus wants to give you 10 bucks, no, I really want to. And then you got to go sit back down? Or is it real? And he really wants to work. Maybe in ways that are different than you might expect. But he really wants to work. And then it's so cool. This is that fellowship aspect. Did you see how many more hands went up the second time? See, when you begin to hear what God is doing in other people's lives, See, some of you are actually, you've locked yourself away from where God is working in other people's lives. And so you've started to believe he doesn't work anymore. But when you can begin to tell me your story, tell me what's going on, that we start to fellowship with each other, and we start to hear what God is doing. Are you kidding me? God did that? We just heard this morning a miracle. Lisa, you shared a miracle of a guy who was going, he was against God, made fun of God. And she just found out this past week or something, this guy became a believer in Jesus. Oh man, God does that? Is that real? Yeah, that's what God does. I love that. He wants to do that in your life too. I got to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving yourself to us. Thank you for giving us yourself. Jesus, we are sorry this morning for where we have tried to make it about what we do. We're sorry for where we have tried to, we've tried to run and run and run and run. We've tried to make it all happen. Forgive us for that, Lord, this morning. We receive your mercy that's new this morning for us. We receive the forgiveness that's ours, that's new for us this morning. We receive, Lord, a transformation of the life you'd have for us, true life. For that person in this room or those people who are struggling with this, God, who have things that are are really death in their life. It's not life, it's death. We just confess those things to you now. We're sorry for where we have allowed them to infiltrate our lives. And they're ruining us. They're messing us up. It might be addictions, it might be tendencies, it might be intentional choices. And we're sorry. Please forgive us, Lord. Please forgive us, Lord. And now may you hear that our God does love you, He does forgive you. And actually, we're going to learn in 1 John. Actually, next week, we're going to tackle it. He who confesses his sin, there's forgiveness. And so just receive now the forgiveness that's yours because of what Jesus has done for you. Your sins are forgiven by his authority. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. New life. New life in Jesus. It's yours. All right, let me bless you. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he look upon you with favor and may he give you his peace. Amen. Have a great week, y'all. See you next week.